Are you ready to practice with that? Get down.
Okay, the meeting of the Board of Commissioners to the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired is in order. Our last commissioner is just arriving and we're going to go ahead and get started. Ordinarily, we start right on time, but we are slightly delayed this morning. So the times on the agenda will not really be accurate anymore. What we will do, though, is still work toward meeting the time frame. So if something is listed as 5 minutes, then we'll have it be that way, but just not at those specific times.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Jaws is on. How do I turn Jaws off?
Insert F4.
And then when it says, do you want to do it? Press enter.
And then the F4 key.
The F4 key. Yes, press enter. And he'll go away. That's okay. Okay, it doesn't sound like he went away.
No.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
Isn't it Alt F4?
Insert.
No, Insert F4 to quit Jaws. Oh. Alt F4 closes windows. Specific windows.
Oh, okay.
Well, okay, we're going to go ahead and do introductions and then we'll do a quick run through the agenda so that if people have things that they want to add or that kind of thing, we can do that. I'm Barbara Lowe's. I'm chairman of the Board of Commissioners and I'm from Lincoln. And we will start with you, Dorothy. And okay.
I'm Dorothy Weston Yaffe from South City.
Hi, guys.
Okay. Bob?
Yes.
Go ahead and introduce yourself. Your chair is right over here.
Over to left of Nancy.
Over to left of the table.
It doesn't matter.
Either one. Goodness. That's exciting. During the same time.
I'm Bob Burns.
Okay, Bill.
Bill Arrester from Lincoln.
You want me to introduce myself?
Yes.
I'm Nancy Altman from Hastings, Nebraska.
Okay, and we are the five commissioners, and I think we'll wait just a moment. If you want to say something during the public comment periods, that you speak up, please, and enunciate. The air conditioning unit in here is fairly loud, and so the recording equipment will have trouble hearing you if you don't speak up and enunciate. So please do that. For people who want tapes of our meetings, those are available by calling the Commission for the Blind. And you can receive those to listen to at your leisure. Since you're here, you may not want to do that, but you can tell your friends that they're certainly welcome to do that. Do we have lunch arrangement logistics to go over?
Yeah, I can answer that.
Okay.
Val and I were both waiting for each other. Pizza will be delivered at noon, and Val has also provided a salad that she brought, and so whenever the pizza arrives or, you know, we can wait right anyway, we'll just serve ourselves if time permits, and I think that's all we really need to know about lunch.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
The agenda has several periods for public comment, and those are times when people can raise either issues that we've just talked about or anything else that people want for us to be made aware of or deal with in any way. I will quickly read the agenda and then we will finish with introductions. As I mentioned before, we will not be going by the specific time listings, we will go by timeframes now, so I won't read the times, it'll just be extra. Okay, so the, after we get done with introductions, we will be doing the approval of the minutes for May 21st and the minutes of the June 13th conference call meeting. We will then have our focus topic, which is VR services with emphasis on job success and current placement opportunities. Carlos Servan will be doing that, Deputy Director for Vocational Rehabilitation Services. Then there will be a period for public comment, then report from the chairman, period for public comment, a break, report from the executive director, public comment period, and then old business, which includes rule update, budget update, website update, including minutes, files, and SRC movie postings, status of rehab update, Friends of the Commission update, NIS update, NFP Newsline update, status of tape public meeting educational materials, OFFIT update, status of Braille on vending machines, a period of public comment, break for lunch, new business, state plan, comprehensive statewide needs assessment pursuant to the Rehabilitation Act requirements of Section 101A15, accommodation for interpreters for deafblind. Staff survey results, list of NCBVI board operational motions, new commissioners packet, per diem and expenses for meetings other than quarterly board meetings, brainstorming ways to educate public officials about and involve them with NCBVI, elections, focus topic for the next meeting, public comment, announcement of location of November 19, 2005 meeting in consideration of 2006 meeting dates and locations. And that is the agenda.
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
There is the door to this room that goes into the library itself as opposed to the outside door. I've left it open thinking circulation would be better, but if at any point there, I don't hear any sounds from out there, but if any of you do, just let me know and we sure can close that.
Okay. Okay, does anyone have anything else that needs to be on the agenda? If not, we will proceed with introductions. Commissioners have already introduced ourselves, so it's everybody else's turn.
I'll start. I'm Dr. Pearl Van Zandt, Director of the Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired from Lincoln.
Carlos Servan, Deputy Director for VR Services, Lincoln.
Hubert Paulson from Lincoln, I'll be doing the taping.
Val Fury from Lincoln, I'll be taking the minutes.
Candy Larson, I'm from North Platte, the District Supervisor, and there is coffee, water, and tea to the, if you're the, from the commissioners to the back right of the room.
Right where you're standing, right?
Right where I'm standing.
Thank you.
The judge would like to start next.
Carlos Floyd, Director of the Orientation Center, Lincoln.
Mary Johnson, Sumer from Lincoln.
Bob Eaton, Lincoln. City of Boat, Randall.
Roy?
Roy Hobley from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Artist Earl from Grand Island.
I told the sergeant, Grand Island.
Robert Newman from Omaha.
Bill Brown from Lincoln.
Judy Beck from Grand Island.
And Pritchie Alcorn, Sausage City.
That's it right now.
Okay. Welcome, everybody. We're very glad to have you. Okay, the next.
See Connie Davey?
She isn't in the room at this moment.
The next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes for the May 21st, 2005 meeting. I do have one comment about that. The materials list has a couple of things at least missing from it because there was a period of time when I was using a second computer, and so a few of the things that came into that one didn't get transferred to the other one, because for some reason I can't forward things to myself these days. And so among those were the anniversary letters for Bob Deaton and Josie Rodriguez, and so I didn't get to congratulate them on their next year of being at the commission, and so I apologize for that last meeting. And we can either modify that when we, you know, before we move the minutes to approve status, or whatever the pleasure of the board is about that. That's the one thing I know is not exactly as it should be about the minutes.
I move that the minutes be adopted with the addition that Barbara so cited.
Second.
Okay, is there a discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. And the minutes of the June 13th conference call meeting. Are there additions, corrections, anything to those?
I make a motion that they be accepted.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that those minutes be approved. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the focus topic, VR services with emphasis on job success and current placement opportunities. And Carlos is the presenter for that. I want to thank you for the materials you sent to us in preparation for the meeting. We really do appreciate receiving materials ahead of time. And with that,
May I jump in before Carlos
sure.
starts? Two more people have arrived, if you'd like to introduce yourselves.
Connie Daley, the Lincoln District Supervisor.
Okay.
Nancy Floral, the Lincoln District Supervisor.
Okay, welcome, both of you.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you guys got the information, and I'm also glad you have a chance to read it. One of the things that I didn't include in the attachments were the type of jobs and how much people are making, and my apologies that I neglect to add that, even though that was the emphasis by the end of the last meeting. Daddy Wilmot, who has access to all the 9/11 report and so on, was down yesterday afternoon. Barbara Lowe's email, and then I talked to her about that situation. Then I went back to the computer to look for the last 9/11 report, but the last message I got was that now we are doing it, or we are reporting through the internet, so we are not keeping the email format. So I contacted the supervisors, and I want to emphasize thankfulness to them. They got very quick. They are the ones who know the clients, the placements, the counselors. We put together a list for you, okay? So we are ready. I will be glad to read the list here. I have like a list of 50 plus different jobs with salaries. Do you want me to get into the list right now, or you have questions about the report for me?
I'd say go ahead with the placement information.
Okay, here I come. The first one is business representative, $13 an hour. Now, let me tell you, some people, a few of them, we have the numbers for how much they are making per month. So we took some liberty and just divided by the number of hours they work and come out with the how much they are making an hour, okay? So next is a Walmart cashier, and that person makes $9.75. A bookkeeper for a trucking company, $18.50. Self-employed person doing bookkeeping, $22. Electrician, $14.50.
Handyman, $15. Pet groomer, $6 an hour. Lawn maintenance, $7. Extended family worker, $18. Social Security representative, $12. Stalker, $6.50. Library assistant, $10. Food service, $7. Another food service, $7. Switchboard operator, $8.50. A cashier, $6.50. Daycare worker, $6.50. Interviewer, $7.50. Another interviewer, $7.50. Dishwasher, $7. Stacker, $6.75. Greeter, $5.15. Dishwasher, $8.50. Teacher, $13. Vendor, $8. Self-representative, $10. Mechanic, $10. Now, this is a new word that I learned, okay? Masonry foreman.
Masonry.
See, I knew I was to be
correct. What was the second word?
Foreman.
Foreman, okay.
Thanks. $10. Rental manager, $12. Farmer, $9. Computer manager, $20. Real estate agent, $14.23. Court reporter, $15. Plant manager, $23. Massage therapist, $15. Computer technician, $15.62. Correction officer, $14.22. Secretary, $11.25. Restaurant owner, $21.88. That's an average, okay? Because sometimes it changes month by month, but that's what. Case A, $12. Social Security representative,
$19.23.
Program manager for cable company, $19.22. Financial planner, $11.54. Production, $8. Another production, $12. And another production, $14. Printer operator, $10. PVX operator, $9. Motorcycle technician, $8. Customer service representative 13. Another customer service representative 940. Reservationist 925. Patient attendance $9. Medical secretary $9. Food service worker $9. Teacher $8.50. Or English as a second language teacher. And that's all. The average is like $15.40 an hour for our cases. And as you can see, we have a diverse type of jobs, which involve, like I explained in the report, different approaches, different services, different type of support, technology support, counseling and guidance. Are there any questions for me at this point? Because I invited Roy Hopley and Judy Beck to give you a little a summary of how the services were impacted in their life, their former clients. We also provide a lot of services to senior individuals under the VR track. I know Bob Deaton reported on the older blind, but you need to be aware as the public attending that under the VR services, we provide services to many clients who are older blind. And as we approach the legislators in the near future, we are going to start talking about the type of services will be affected if we don't get funded. So do you have questions for me about the type of jobs and the money they are making?
I have one. Go ahead. Jobs, they're not just a graduate from the orientation center, but they're cross-section of all the clients that later people have gone blind later in life and developed blind problems, the visual problems. That list includes people like that.
Everybody's included, including those from the orientation center.
So that maybe somebody making $20 an hour, they had that type of a job before, and you were able to place them in a similar job with a similar salary.
Some of them, but many of them who got training through the orientation centers are the ones who have better jobs, as well as the ones that got transition services. One of the okay, let me put this in a different way. When we got visit from RSA a couple of years ago and we started to look at the numbers, we look at transition services and the type of jobs that those individuals who got transition services were doing, and those were the ones starting making $15-$17 an hour. Again, many of them got to our different transition programs and also to the orientation center. Then Fatosh also puts together the list of those folks who went to the orientation center, and I look at them too. Many of them start with part-time jobs, and they are not closed when they are not, they don't achieve their goals yet, okay? So once they achieve their goals, we close them, and many of them are in entry jobs, but many of them are, like you say, Bill, have their training already in different careers, and they go back to either to hold the jobs they were holding before or to continue in the same type of jobs but in a different company or agency.
Excuse me just a second. The people at the far end of the room are having trouble hearing, so Carlos, if you would speak up, and also the board, when you're talking, if you would try to project, that would really be helpful.
I would say that I'm impressed by those salaries, because there are some good salaries there, and apparently somebody's doing a good job.
Well, if somebody's doing a good job, I would say it's a team effort, and I especially want to thank the counselors on the field and the supervisors. They are the ones who work directly with the clients, and eventually, well, I do get calls and emails to talk about each client, and I scratch my head and say, I only get this once in a while, and I'm having a headache. And they do it every day throughout the day. Just yesterday, I think it was, I already losing track of the time with all these things going on. But for instance, yesterday, we had a meeting with Connie Daly at a hospital facility or correction facility. I don't, Connie, what is the name of that place? I'm sorry.
It's a regional center.
Regional center, right?
Yes.
At 7 in the morning for a blind individual who was almost going to be laid off. He was working there for what, 20 plus years, doing his job just right. Nobody noticed he was even blind. But now they want to start a new computer system, which is going to affect how he does his job. And now they are realizing that he's blind. And in the beginning, they wanted to basically lay him off. Connie and the counselors got involved. And it took several months and several attempts to try to push them, persuade them. Again, we had a meeting yesterday morning, and they are just going to start contacting like West Majuris, who work with NIS, or Travis Ross, who is another consultant, to try to make the whole system accessible. So those are the type of things that our counselors and supervisors go through every day, working with clients, working with families, trying to persuade employers. You read the speech by Curtis Chung. I attached that because it does illustrate the type of situation we are facing in the new era with technology. And our counselors and supervisors have to deal with that every day and try to, again, predict how we are going to provide the services.
Carlos, this is Dorothy. What timeline did these folks go through the center? In the last year or last 10 years or what?
Some of them are in the last year, and some of them who finish the center training start going to college. So that will be 5-6 years. Mm-hmm. And some of them also went, you know, to the orientation center, 9 months, and then college and postgraduate degrees for another, that's 6 years, so we're talking 7 years. And sometimes they found a part-time job first, and then we have a full-time job, so it takes 8-10 years sometimes. So it varies.
I wonder, the list that you gave, though, isn't, was that people who were closed this past year?
It's within the last year, but most of them are closed, but some of them are still what we call status 22.
Yes, employed within the past year. These
yes.
are people who've achieved that particular goal that you just told us within the past year.
That's what, yeah.
So they might have gone to the center 7 years ago.
Correct.
But it's not that you pulled a list from people from the past 10 years.
No.
Okay.
No.
I wanted to make sure.
Oh, okay.
And some of the supervisors are...
But not all of these are center.
No.
Okay.
Right. They didn't all go through the training center.
Right.
Carlos, this is Nancy. I was just wondering, I think those, I'm with Bill and everybody else, I think those are very impressive wages that people are getting and so forth. And I know that, you know, the ones that are, you know, the $6.50, the $7 an hour are probably doing the job that's their, you know, to their best of their ability to do. But I'm wondering, some of those, are they, are there chances for advancement in some of those jobs? Or you know, is that just, you know, they may get their yearly raises or so forth, but that's gonna be the level that they are? Like, one of them I remember was dishwasher. Is there, you know, an upward thing with them, or is it just going to be their position that they would be satisfied with?
There are different factors involved. On some of them, yes, there is some advancement and they want to advance. In some of them, they just want to do it for a few years and then they want to move into something else. Some of them are also seniors who don't want to work so many hours and they just want to do it for entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are also have other disabilities and that's all they can do and that's all they want to do.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that accurate, Supervisor? What then?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Carlos, when the information is collected,
like, you know, you gave just the salary and you know, job duties or job title. Do you have then with that, like, how many years of schooling they have? You know, what in addition, I mean, when you categorize, I mean, obviously, the Walmart greeter, if there was a college graduate, that would designate, you know, that would tell us one thing versus they, you know, didn't finish high school or, you know, just finished high, all they have is a high school diploma.
Right.
When you're categorizing or, you know, putting this information into, you know, what does anything go into?
Yes.
Because I guess what would seem to me is when you're doing it, you know, the job title and the salary, but then if they went through the center, how many years of education, are all those arranged in some kind of subcategories so you can retrieve the information that way?
Yes and no. For most of that, yes. The Rehabilitation Services Administration report, and they require every year, is called the 9/11 report. If they are asking the type of education our clients have, how many years services they receive, how much money they are making, and eventually they are also getting into after 5 years, they want us to do a follow-up to see if they have job promotion or advancements. They are also looking at benefits. One of the things that we are doing in a very informal way, but we are going to start working together with Fatosh and the center, is trying to identify which of the clients went to the center. See, we know individually which ones went. Oh yeah, we know so-and-so, Peter went to the center, oh, he's doing great, or so-and-so is not. But we haven't put a list together and do a follow-up in yearly basis. But I think that's one of the things that we would like to do for the future. What I didn't tell you earlier when I was giving you the example about the jobs we placed clients when RSA came a couple of years ago is that Nebraska is on the top of the standards indicators in two things. One, on how much money our clients are making in average. Okay, if you go to like New York, their average is $7, even though in New York they make more money. And in Nebraska, you are just seeing it's $14, $15. Iowa is $16. Now, they have a very good agency too, but we are very close and their economy is better. Just to give you an example about that, the other emphasis is that the other characteristic that we have is that we are investing in clients, and the ones that we're investing more on, like the college students, are the ones who are having better jobs, the ones who are making better money and are having benefits, like the average society, right? So that's the emphasis that RSA is putting these days, or at least what the last two commissioners were trying to do, and we don't know what the future will be yet, but we share that philosophy. The agency believe on the capability of the blind, that with good training, good opportunity, we can provide changes and great things for the blind, in spite of all the limitations we have. So we are trying to do our best. And of course, sometimes we have mistakes, but we are not afraid to try, and we are not embarrassed for people to tell us when we have mistakes, we will fix them. And so that's the type of agency and counselors we have. We want to just go on, yeah.
I think that's a credit to our commission that we have such dedicated counselors and supervisors and executive directors and deputy directors that we can honestly say that even though, you know, maybe people make more money in New York, we still place people that are blind better than they do because people in our commission are dedicated, even with all the budgetary. I really commend our commission for those things.
I just want to give you a little example. Last week, I went to Texas for I was invited to provide some training for transition services. And each time I was going to stand up from the table, which was not a big room, like for 100 people, only a square room, somebody from the agency will come and tell me, here is my arm. Oh no, I'm fine, thank you. When I wanted to, same thing, to go to lunch or the restroom or to go to the podium, they always were offering me an arm. And the director the previous day mentioned that they had the best orientation center in the country and the best services in the nation. And I wanted to raise my hand and tell her, yeah, but our clients are making more money than your clients, and our clients are more independent, and you're inviting me to come to talk to you, and we don't invite Texas to come to talk to. Well, I didn't say that, but but you get my point here, I guess. That's why it's so important, the training we provide, you know, both in the field and in the orientation center. The belief that our counselors have, it's very hard when we don't have a counselor. And there is a purpose, and on the long run, you see these results. So it works.
Does the system, though, Carlos, I mean, if I'm a high school graduate, I show up, and you get me, I get, you know, Walmart greeter, and you close my case, versus you encourage a person to go on to college, he gets, you know, goes to the center, you know, you're investing a lot of resources in him, and then he ends up with a higher paying job. What's the benefit of a system that, you know, a state that does that versus the state that wants to close the guy out, you know, as quickly as possible, at, you know, as a Walmart, you know, cashier? I mean, what is the incentive? What's in it for Nebraska from an incentive standpoint to, you know, to push the guy to go to college and get more training, you know, spend more resources on him, and then, you know, get him a better job? But
right. But I think it's the same pride and the same benefit that parents will get when you invest in your children. Now, I'm not saying that our agency is paternalistic. Please don't take that message at all. That's one benefit. And like any other good services that we invest and we try to make people have a good life, that's one in general. And the other one is also, if you provide quick services, quick jobs, those clients will come back because they are not pleased with those jobs. And that's what keeps happening in New York and those states where they do those type of jobs. Now, New York per capita has more closures than we do, okay? So does Missouri and other states. But those guys keep coming back because they are not pleased with their jobs. They are not being trained. The main problem about a blind person, again, is two things. It's the good training that somebody needs to receive, and the other one is the misconception about blindness.
Yeah.
If you don't know how to cope and deal with those issues, you are not going to be successful. So in those cases, when somebody doesn't want to receive services or doesn't, it's not given the opportunity to get good services. When I say services, I mean both training on skills and the fundamental belief that a blind person can compete and understand truly that belief, the person is not going to go far. They will keep coming back, and the agency is going to keep spending money.
But you're saying, it sounds to me like you're saying, no, there is no, you know, outside of, you know, personal pride, but I mean, is the system now, the RSA, the formulas, everything, there's no incentive for money or anything else?
Oh.
Let's talk about standards and indicators.
Just the standards and indicators for now. The standards and indicators were designed, in my opinion, okay, to embarrass agencies. But the feds, and this is, you know, Fred Schroeder, who was a commissioner, he said, but okay, yeah, fine, you don't get to the standards and indicators, you don't provide good results, so what do you get? And the answer was nothing. You just get a memo from the Fed saying you're not doing your job, show us how you're going to fix it. And all you do is write a report saying I'm doing this, doing that, but the money is not giving, it's not taking away, or you don't get more money. But the move is eventually to move into that. There is some talks about give more money or more priority to those states who are having good results, like Nebraska, Iowa, New Mexico. And on the others, don't give them more money. So there is some move into that. The other one is we are able to go to the legislators and start asking for money. Now, if we come to the legislators and we bring consumers and they say, well, I'm only making $6 an hour, the commission only gave me a cane and a braille watch and not training at all, and I'm making $6 an hour and only working 10 days a week, versus somebody who comes, I'm a computer technician, I'm making $22 an hour, or I'm a teacher, you know, I was going to commit suicide, or I didn't know how to raise my children anymore. The impact that I have through the legislator. So it does bring financial results, which goes back to put that money into client services, of course.
So the standards and indicators, that started in 98?
Yes.
And so in a sense, what it's doing now is, you know, hopefully like what Texas has done, Nebraska's got good numbers, and so other states that presumably want to try and do better than there's actual numbers backing
right.
up which states are doing a better job, and hopefully
right.
others.
And Carol can tell you this, you know, whenever you go to a different state agency or whenever we bring people, state directors or people say, oh, we are the best agency in the country, or we have the best training in the nation. But the actions and the figures show, you know, okay, tell me, let's see what kind of jobs they are doing.
I'd like to add about the standards and indicators as well. I certainly look at them each year to, you know, to see how we're doing and to see if there are things that we need to be placing more emphasis on that we've perhaps let slide. And also, the specific indicators really do push high quality employment and, you know, self-support. I'll read them to you in a minute, but the whole emphasis, even though they're not going to take away our funding unless an agency was really bad, it still makes it very clear what voc rehab is about. And their, the numbers of people that have a change in their employment status, the percent of the people we serve who achieve employment outcomes, how many or the percent that are competitive employment, what percentage are significant disability, or, you know, of the people have significant disabilities, the earnings ratio of the closed clients compared to earnings within that state, and then how many have achieved self-support at closure compared to when they came into the rehab system. And on all of those, we're required to pass four of the six, and we're required to pass three of the, there are three that are considered primary, and we're required to pass two of those three. So, you know, to me, they really do help keep VR agencies from pushing people into first job, any job, low pay types of things. And so I think that, you know, it is kind of left to the integrity of that agency to care about those things and pay attention to it, but at least it's a benchmark that's different than just how many people did you get into jobs.
If you don't pass those number of you know, subcategories, then what happens?
Well, that's really what Carlos was saying. Virtually nothing. You might get a slap on the wrist, you might get a letter saying...
Written notice.
Yeah, but, you know, and that's, I suppose, a part of the problem. But, you know, if somebody's serious about the work they're doing, which we certainly are, you know, they're good.
And it's a kind of complex but interesting how the consumer organization will play a role on that, you know. If we bring numbers here that are very low and we don't do anything about it, besides getting the letter from RSA, I bet you the ACB and the NAB will raise, you know, hell to the governor and so on.
Right.
And unlike other states, they don't do those things. So that's one. The other main factor that I wanted to mention is the workforce idea that if state agencies, rehab agencies, don't do their jobs, they have the, you know, more the risk that they will just go into one-stop centers. Because that's what one-stop centers do, you know, quick jobs, easy jobs to find, and the VR is a services is training and quality jobs. So I think if you don't mind, I'm going to ask Judy Beck and Roy Hopley to give you a little summary of the impact we have in their lives. Is that okay with you? You have more questions?
I have a couple of things, and that, they'll be quick. I was wanting to know, the technology services guidelines that you sent to us, do those apply to both VR people and independent living people? Are those agency-wide guidelines? For
yes, that's my job.
Okay, and then also in the report that you had sent to us, it talked about, when it was talking about outreach type services, and it mentioned the talking book and braille service and the visually impaired peer support and radio talking book or whatever, and there wasn't any mention of NFB Newsline. I've heard VR clients say that that is very useful as far as looking for work and also for being competitive in school and them being job ready, and so I was wondering why that wasn't listed as
right,
something in there.
Yeah, that was my well, first of all, when I put about outreach services and wrote RTV and VIP support,